You're listening to the show. This is Jeff, and this is show number one. So you are in the prime positions. Listen up. Hey, we're coming to you right now. Hey, all, how y'all doing out there? This is Jeff, and you are on the show, and granted, the show is not what I'm going to be calling it, but it's the first podcast I'm doing, tech-related podcast, and this is different for me because most of my podcasts have all been music-based, and I've delved through a few things. I got off of the music podcast simply because two things, RIAA, and then the other thing was the lack of support. I tried to switch it to independent music, and the independent artists, it was really hard, pulling teeth, really, to get music. And granted, I could have went to some sort of a music aggregator and got some free download music, but I really wanted them to become a little bit more interactive, and it just didn't quite pan out that way. So I'm going to switch to my other love, and that's the technology realm. I love tech, and I've been a little bit about me. I've been in IT technical services for the last 10 years, 10 plus years. I used to work on a 386 with Windows 3.1. Yes, so I then graduated. I was a software tester. I then graduated and worked on one of the support teams for the launch of Windows 95. So technically I worked for Microsoft for a little while. I bounced back and forth. I was a contractor for a long time. So I learned a lot about different companies and how they use technology to, do whatever they need to do. I worked at banks. I worked at hospitals. I worked for the government. I worked in the prison system. We upgraded a whole bunch of systems a few years ago. I've worked in the private, and I've worked in the public, and the government, and everything in between. So I've done a lot of IT work throughout those 10 years, 10 plus years, and I still do it. Currently, I'm working for a company that it's a wholesale company, and I do all their IT work. I do all their servers. We're Windows-based, 10 servers. I've got a great home here, and I use a lot of Windows and Linux, or Unix, or whatever you want to call it. I call it Linux. I also have a vast knowledge of Macintosh experience, thanks to one of my jobs, which required me to go to Chicago and actually learn a lot about the Mac. So I'm pretty much got my hands in a pretty good realm of software. Not everything, of course, and there's a lot of things that I'm going to learn and a lot of things that I want to push and learn about. So one thing I don't get into myself, I'm not a gamer. I'm usually, when I work on a computer, I work on a business end. I make websites. I make, I do a lot of work. It's either work or websites or music, because I'm also a musician. And I've put a lot of music out on there, and hence the whole podcasting thing, because I got everything you need for a podcast through my music stuff. So it all works in the same, and I have a lot of fun on computers, and I'm constantly learning everything. So I've been listening to some podcast shows. Of course, you know the Geek News Central podcast is one of these things, and I'm glad to be on the Blueberry Network. And you're probably hearing this from the Blueberry Network, because this is the first podcast aggregator, I like to call it, that I've put this on. And we'll be expanding to other stuff on there. So that's a little bit about me. Now a little bit about this show. What do I want to do with this show? Well, there's a lot of other shows that talk about tech and geek and all that. So mine, this show, I'm going to focus on a little bit of everything, because, you know, I'm the general... general contractor kind of guy. So we're going to talk a little bit about news. We're going to have a little fun there. We're going to talk a little bit about technical issues, you know, Talk, you know, if this something comes across my desk during the week, I'll probably talk about it this during the week. So, we're going to talk about any type of version updates and stuff like that. Unfortunately, I don't have anything real to talk about with the version updates this week. And there was no real security patches or anything like that that was set out. Besides your regular download your antivirus security database. And if you don't have antivirus on your computer, you need to get some antivirus. There are at least two good programs that are free. One's called AVG, and the other one is called Avast, A-V-A-S-T. Both of them, if you search on Google, if you search on your favorite search engine, you will find these programs. Download them and get them going. And so you're protected from any type of virus. Update your antivirus every week. If not every day, mine every day. I always update my antivirus. So, anyway, that's enough about that. Let's get on with the show here, and we get some. We've got some great news coming down the pike, and we're gonna start with the biggest piece of news, and that is the Apple and the iPhone and the update that they just put out. Now, basically, what happens is. A lot of these phones were hacked, and they were opened up so that you can use them for different things. You can turn them in, you know, like a major mod to do what you need to do on your iPhone, you know, so you're not bound by Apple and stuff like that. Well, Steve Jobs and Apple issued a software update that basically turns the phone into an iBrick, as the new term is coined, not by me, of course, but basically a lot of phones that were hacked, they can't update to the new version, the update version. If they update, the phone will become useless. And so they have to stay at their, I think it was like the 1.0 version, the 1.1 version turns it into the iBrick. So if you've got a mod out there, do not update your phone. They were working on getting the phone hack reversed so you can do the updates. So hold tight until that happens. Once that happens, then you can do that. But, you know, once again, you're then confined to the SIM card that ties the phone with AT&T. So it's kind of sad. I understand why they're doing it, but you got to understand that this is technology. I mean, think about it. If we got a computer that had Windows XP, that had Windows Office 2007, that had Adobe Acrobat, that had just the basic pieces of software, and they said you cannot upgrade your computer, you cannot upgrade your memory, you cannot put on any new software, you cannot do anything with your computer but use it and the programs installed. How far do you think that was going to take it? I mean, you can't even hook up a camera because, you know, it's an extra piece of equipment. Can't hook up a scanner, can't hook up a printer. Maybe they'll give you a printer to hook up. But it just doesn't work. And the iPhone's got to be the same way. I mean, I have a smartphone. I have at the time it was Singular 8125. And it runs off the Windows PC 5 software. And I kind of like it. I kind of hate it. I have a big problem with hooking it up at work. Basically, when I hook it up at work, it sends me, it puts into my Office 2007 application, puts down 207 blank contacts, and then doesn't upload or synchronize my contacts. So I have problems with it, yes. But I got some software. I got a piece of software called Phone Alarm on there. Phone Alarm lets me work with the ringer on the phone, because basically the ringer on the phone kind of sucks. And it rings on or off. You got a little volume control. But with Phone Alarm, I can say, okay, at 8 o'clock in the morning when I go to work, I want you to change the volume to a low volume. At 5 o'clock in the evening, I want you to change it back to my high-end volume. But then at 11 o'clock when I'm trying to sleep, turn it down, but not too far down, so I can at least hear it. So if I'm awake, I can actually answer the phone if there's a problem. Because that's with my job, I need to be able to answer the phone at 12 o'clock at night if need be. So it's a to be able to just say, hey, we're not gonna support this mod, and we are going to do everything in our power to stop it. Imagine how far the Xbox would have went if that Xbox mod was really taken into account, and they were to basically say, no, you can't mod your Xbox. Of course you can't, but they let the people, you know, you let the people do it. You can't let them sell it again, of course, but you let them do it, and then they do it, and hey, they break it, and you gotta go out and buy another Xbox. People, $400 cell phone, you break the $400 cell phone, forget it. Not gonna get. At least I wouldn't get another iPhone. So it's Apple needs to think about this type of stuff when they're trying to sell stuff. Otherwise, you know, they're gonna be stuck with this. I mean, we won't get into the whole Apple proprietariness on things, but it's like Sony. It really is. They're too proprietary. That's my opinion. So, moving on, but we're only moving on short distance here, because on another part of the iPhone, there is a lot of people that have decided to put up a lawsuit for the rebates that have just been happening when they knocked down the phone $200. There are a lot of people that did not get to be part of that, and I know a lot of people are saying, well, you know, if you go out and you buy something that day and then a month later it becomes cheaper, you shouldn't have to complain about it. But I believe there is a law here that says that a company, if you buy something from a company, you have 30 days to dispute it. So if they sell you something and then tomorrow they lower the price, you can go back to that company and say, hey, wait a minute, I didn't know about this price. I was planning that this wasn't going to do this, but you did. So now I want my money. I want some of my money back, because I could have waited a day and gotten the discount. So, it's a fair pricing law. It's in the books and stuff like that. So I can understand it. On the same token, you know, you go out that day, you buy an iPhone, you expect it to be off the shelves and nobody be able to be able to buy it, and then you think that, okay, well, I'm gonna buy one, and then they're gonna be off the shelves for like 3 months, like an Xbox was or a PlayStation was, and I won't be able to get one for 3 months. So I got the cool technology. Well, the iPhone never really they made enough iPhones, and they sold tons of iPhones, but if you go out and you go out that day and you buy something, don't complain about the fact that it's been lowered. I mean, I can tell you, I before my smartphone, I had a Razer. I paid $250 for that Razer, and now you can get a Razer for free with your a 2-year plan. You know, so what? It happens. You move on. So anyway, we're gonna move on right now. Speaking of which, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how to get a hold of me. Well, I don't have an email address set up just yet. You can send an email to drummerman1@gmail.com. That's drummerman1@gmail.com. I'm going to change the email address shortly once we get a show. But there is a phone line if you want to call in on topics, talk about anything. It is 608-807-4379. Once again, 608-807-4379, and that is the official number for the pod, the show. And what I'd like you to do is call in and give me some ideas of shows. Now, there's a lot of factors involved on the idea of the show and the name. One, is the website available? Two, if I do get the website, if you go to the .net or the .com or the .org, will it go to a porn site or something like that? Because we don't want to be in relation to something like that, because it just, you know, we don't want people going to porn sites accidentally. We want it to be a very friendly site. If it over basically something that's going to really wrap up the name of the show in a name, you know, So anyway, 608-807-4379. You can call me at any time during the day. That's a it's a great number, and leave a message and talk about things that you want to talk about that can be on the show. Also, send me an email if you have any comments on the show, and we'll go from there. So anyway, let's move on. XP sales extended June. Now, this is another thing that's been talked about. Microsoft XP. Basically, Microsoft has had this theory that, you know, they have an operating system out for 4 years and then they move on. I don't know where how they established this because, well, Windows 95 aside, XP or NT was around for a long time. I think it was around 8 years before major changes. Well, it started in 1996, and then Windows 2000 came. I suppose that is 4 years, but and nobody wanted to, in the business world wanted to leave NT right away. In fact, I remember working on NT up until about 2003, 2004. So it wasn't really viable to go from NT to 2000. 2000 came around, and then they came out with 2003. That was a 3 year difference. Excuse me. And then and now 2003 to 2007, 2008, whatever you want to call it. So I see their pattern that they're setting up, but with Windows XP, the thing is they made a pretty darn good operating system. So and there's a lot of companies that don't want to switch over. I know our companies, it's pretty small. To switch over to Vista would be a major undertaking and a lot of money. And I see us being on XP for the next year or two because we really just put in place a full system with XP. So they said, okay, well, we're going to give you till June of 2008 to keep your XP going, and then we'll work on getting Vista out on your desktops. So it's a great move. They've even got a program where if you buy a computer, because computers nowadays don't come with XP, they come with Vista. If you get anything but the Vista Basic, if you get Vista Basic, you got to buy a full version of XP. But if you get like the Vista Business or the Vista Ultimate or the, excuse me, other Vistas that are out there, you can downgrade back to XP. I don't call it downgrading myself, but hey, you can downgrade to XP and get it for your computers. I've done it. I have a lot of HP computers there. We bought some HP laptops. They came with Vista, and we called up HP and we said we want the downgrade versions because we're not going to Vista just yet. And so they sent them, and life's been good so far. So it's a smart move on Microsoft's end, because I don't want a mixed environment in my business or where I work. It's hard enough to support XP as a whole, and I still have to support some Windows 2000, some Windows 98, some Windows ME. We even have XP Home and XP Pro, which I have to support. It's a pain enough as it is. Don't throw something new, especially something that doesn't work with all the software. I know that there's some pieces of software out there that still don't work with Microsoft Vista, and these are business programs. I know we have some phone software that will not work with Windows Vista. So it's a good move on Microsoft. And if you work in a small business, understand that you do have options. And that's the best part. So another big piece of news that happened this week is Halo 3 shipped out. And Microsoft is just taking the corner market on all this stuff. Basically, Halo 3 has come out, and it pretty much pulled 140 million within the first few days. I'd love to have a game pull 140 million for me. You know, I have a friend that works over at a software company that makes games, and I don't think he's they have some pretty popular games there. That's Raven Software, and they make Quake, and I don't think they ever pulled 140 million. Like that. So it's a big, big, big number. So, and they also reported that when Xbox Live, the first day or two or something like that, Halo 3 caused a minor Xbox Live hiccup. And so you saw some outages on your first few days. So you get your Halo 3 home, and one of two things happened. Either you opened up the case and you found a big scratch across the disc. That was the other thing. Or you put it in, you started playing. All of a sudden, the servers couldn't handle all the purchases of Halo 3. So I'm glad that a piece of software can really make an impact, especially on a young market today. And so it's just phenomenal what people will go out and do and buy and stuff like that. I personally don't have an Xbox 360. I've been toying on the idea of getting a Xbox 360. However, most of my game systems end up going to my brother because I pretty much grow tired of them. Because, you know, to me, I'd like to get on a computer to get some work done. You know, granted, I do a lot of surfing. I have a MySpace account. I have a Facebook account. I do a lot of surfing on those sites. I have my own website about music in Wisconsin. And called wybands.com, and I'm on that site a lot, taking care of the message boards and adding new features and stuff like that. So it's to me that's where my work is. I'm gonna try and get back in the gaming. I did do some of the gaming in the past, and I'm gonna talk about this on this now. I'm gonna actually merge in the next news article, and that is Ultima Online turns 10. Now, Ultima Online is actually older than 10 years old. I remember playing Ultima 3 on an Apple IIc, and then the early IBM PCs back when I was in high school, which was basically 86 to 90. And even before that, we were in middle school. Ultima 2, Ultima 1 came out. I actually have corresponded with Richard Garriott, who is basically the man that is known as Lord British. So I've been involved in Ultima. I never got into the Ultima Online, but I remember when it came out, and I was really proud. It was September 25th, 1997, and this article is over on geek.com, a great place to get some news source information. I just did a revamp about 3-4 months ago, and it's just fabulous what they've done with their stuff. So basically, they're celebrating 10 years of Ultima Online. And it's basically the first and longest running MMORPG. So it's a great thing, and I'm glad for the crew at Ultima. I mean, this, like I said, this game has pretty much been around longer than some people have been alive. I mean, that's crazy, and they're still going. I remember when it was a third player a game. You'd go around, you'd fight a few orcs, you'd leave a few chests to build a barrier, and you'd go and you'd ultimately save the world of Britannia, and now you can go to Return to Britannia and be first player, and graphics better, and I still like Ultima 3 and Ultima 4. Those were my favorite ones. I think if I had them, I'd play them again. I think I have them somewhere, but yeah. Anyway, moving on. Ah, 640 gigabytes. What would you do with 640 gigabytes? That's a lot. I have a lot of memory of disk space in my computer, but 640 gigabytes is crazy. And now what if it was one drive? Now I know, you know, oh yeah, they make one drive already. What if it was one drive and solid state? Now, for some of you that don't know what solid state is, it basically means no moving parts, no magnetic drives, no nothing. It's like a big memory stick, and 640 gigabytes. What would you do then? It's crazy, but the company Fusion has presented a massively fast and a massively large solid state drive. This is over on slashdot.org, another great news aggregator. Basically, it's a hard drive on a PC card, and they're demoing it at the 07 conference in San Diego. Basically, I think they're demoing a 80 gigabyte card, but they're talking about scaling it to 640 gigabytes. And it basically reads 600 megabytes per second and 800 megabytes per second. And that's just crazy. That's fast. If you were to have one of those in your computer, you turn on your computer, you would have Windows XP up within a matter of a fraction of a second. I'm serious. That's how good a solid-state flash hard drive would be. Downfall. Flash hard drives, basically, if part of the hard drive goes, the whole hard drive goes. Now, granted, on a regular IDE or SATA hard drive, the hard drive could be the same way. Part of it goes, the whole thing goes. But in this case, it's really there's no real chance to get it back. That's the problem with it. And there's an easy solution, and I hope they think of it, and I hope they start to implement it. And that's basically what's called RAID configuration. So basically, instead of, because it takes less power to run one of these solid-state drives, it doesn't get hot at all. Well, it might get a little hot, but not as hot as a hard drive does for all that spinning and all that movement in there. And it's so small. I mean, it's going to take up like 1/10 of the drive, and it's going to be perfect for laptops. But if you took 4 or 8 or 16 of those things and you put them into one system, you go down the line and you'd set up what's called a RAID configuration, which basically means with one disk, you have your data on the disk. Now, if you had 2 or 4 disks, think of the data going through all 4 disks, kind of like a threading with a needle and thread. All your data will go three-dimensionally through all 4 disks. So a little bit will be on disk 1, a little bit will be on disk 2, a little bit will be on disk 3, and a little bit will be on disk 4. What does that have advantage for you? Well, let's say one of the hard drives dies. Let's say drive number 2 dies. You can then pull out drive number 2, put in a new version of drive number 2, and it will take the information that's on 1, 3, and 4, and it will recreate on 2. And it's used in business all the time. And it's a great thing. You lose a drive, you replace it with a drive, and it rebuilds the information, and you don't lose. I think it's a crazy number, and it's a great thing because you don't lose anything off the hard drive. And if you had 4 drives, if you had 8 drives, you have a better chance of retaining all your data. If you have 16 drives, 16 solid state drives, that's at 80 gigs. Just 80 gigs alone, you have more information that you'd need, and you'd have a great hard drive, and you'd have a great system. If something dies, then hey, you just go get it. Now, if all 16 drives die, you're in trouble. So you still have to back up, but I think it's a great thing, and it'll, like I said, less heat, less electricity. You'll have a greener computer. So watch out for that. So that's pretty cool. Moving on, Alaska Airlines basically says it'll become the first U.S. air carrier to test a satellite-based in-flight wireless internet service on one of its planes next year. Now, what does that mean? Of course, that means when you're flying Alaska Airlines, you'll be able to surf the internet. How many people have flown on Alaska Airlines? Yeah, that's pretty much that. But it's a great start because if that works, and then some of these other airplane companies will be able to do that. And just think about it, you know, you're in flight movie, you bring a DVD and you bring your laptop, you watch a movie on your laptop. What if you could do it Wi-Fi? You know, you connect to your server at home, and then you can let's say your wife videotapes your child's first steps, and you're on the plane. Your wife puts it on the computer, boop, 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 like that. A nice sound effect, by the way. And then she uploads it onto your server, and then you can pull it from your server. You watch your kid's first steps within the first 2 minutes. You can then Yahoo Instant Messenger and say, hey, that was pretty cool. Thank you for sending that to me. And then you can, excuse me, I just tapped the microphone there. And then you can turn on your webcam, and you can talk to your wife. You can have a business meeting on a plane. So you could be flying to Detroit and be conferencing with people in California. it's a great thing. It'll probably come under fire, like the cell phone idea. A couple months back, they talked about cell phones and being able to turn them on, but the passengers said no because they really don't want to hear Aunt Lou's conversation with her little son that's sitting next to him. And that's understandable. It's a pretty small plane. Even a big plane is a pretty small plane if you think about it. And you just don't want to be stuck next to somebody that's going to yap on the phone for 3 hours. And it's just not right. And it just, I understand it. And they're probably going to get to that point with laptops and connection and saying, hey, you know, you can't have that type of connection here or you can't do that here because that's not fair to our other passengers. So, but anyway, it's a good step. You'll be able to continue getting your email. You'll be able to continue get messages. So, you know, hey, if you find out if the company, you're flying to Texas for some corporate thing and you find out that your driver is not going to be there. In fact, there's going to be another driver, different name. Somebody can actually email you and say, hey, watch out for this person instead of this person. I think it's great. Now, Microsoft this week has announced that Office 2008 for Mac will happen. And I think that's a great idea. Earlier in the year, Microsoft was getting away from Macintosh. They stopped producing Internet Explorer for Macintosh. And I understand why Netscape is out there, and it's a good program. I think that they should continue with it, but I think they just felt that it wasn't as... they could actually put more effort in other things, like Office 2008. And so... They're going to come up with Word and Excel and PowerPoint and Entourage and for the Mac. And I think that's a great thing. Entourage, I hope they do a lot of revamping for, because the one thing that really bugged me about Entourage was the fact that, you know, it's supposed to hook up to your Exchange server, but really it wasn't that great of an Exchange server program. So I really hope that Microsoft looks at their Outlook 2007 and or Outlook 2003, although I've heard there's some problems with Outlook 2007. I'll tell you right now, I have Outlook 2007 on my computer here and Outlook 2007 on my computer at work. And I do not have, well, besides the problem with my smartphone, which it's not a 2007 thing because it happens on Office 2003 as well. But it's basically a memory hog, as some people say, and I haven't experienced that just yet. Yeah, there's been points where my computer slowed down because it's trying to find my mail, but you know, I can live with that. I can accept that for a little while to get that. Now, granted, if my computer was high speed, needing to be constantly moving for some reason, I could see having a problem with that. But then again, if I had that type of problem, I should get a second computer. At least that's what I think. Anyway, I like Office 2007. I hope they retool Entourage 2008 to act like Outlook 2007. In fact, I just don't understand the whole idea of having Entourage versus Outlook. They should merge it, call it Outlook, be done. It only makes sense. Why have two different names? I mean, they've done it before in the past. Just doesn't make sense to me. All right. Google this week announced that they have purchased a social network called Zinku. Now, if you've been on social networks, social networks have been around. AOL technically was a social network. And a lot of people were on AOL. A lot of people are still on AOL programs, like the AOL Instant Messenger and stuff like that. But now social networks are basically MySpace and Facebook and some of the other ones out there that I can't think of. I'm on MySpace. I'm on Facebook. So these are some great networking programs, and you can really keep in touch with your friends. And that's, I think that's a great thing. So even Yahoo has had something of a social network program going. And they still do with their Yahoo Instant Messenger. I mean, I know I can get on my computer and know who's online, who's not online for the most part, and talk to friends. I have a friend up in Minnesota. I talk to her every now and then. Hello to Amy, by the way. And otherwise, if I didn't have that, you know, I'd just be like, okay, I have a friend up in Minnesota, but, you know, I don't talk to her at all. So I think this is Google keeps on that bandwagon, and I know there's been a lot of talk about Microsoft buying Facebook, or part of Facebook, or something like that. And this is where things are going. Web 2.0, as they call it, just to be able to talk back and forth, not have before it was static pages talking to you. Now you're talking back, and voicing your opinion. And nothing's going to be the same. And that's great, because we need things to move forward. Sometimes forward is not forward, but, you know. All right, speaking of moving forward, what do you get when you have a bunch of Legos, a scanner, and a little Tupperware dish filled with milk? Well, some people would say I'd have something for my cat to have lunch out of. But for one person, he's actually using it to advance technology. And we're talking about 3D scanning realms. And basically what this is you take it, it falls on the simple process of layering. Now, what he does is he takes the scanner. He's got the scanner set up, and you go to the page and you'll see this. He takes the item, he puts it in the Tupperware container, and then he takes a picture of it. Then he takes some milk and he pours it in there. Milk has got the white background to it, so it doesn't interfere with the main part of what's getting scanned. So when he takes the other picture, all of a sudden a layer is gone. The bottom layer is gone. And as he puts more milk in it, spoonful by spoonful, more of the layers go away, and therefore he creates a 3D model from this. Now, that gives it more smooth edges, that gives it more information to make the 3D model come alive. And I think it's a great idea. You got to see it in action. He's got a little YouTube video on there that shows how he goes about doing it. It's not a quick process. It's a very, very long process from what I see. It definitely adds to it a lot. And I think it's go see it. Another one that I got up on the site is called Stop Motion Polaroids. The guy took a 987 Polaroids. It's up on Tech Blog. And he took 987 Polaroids, and he made a stop motion video. And this is something you'd probably see on an HP video or a commercial or something like that. It's very, very good. And the amount of patience that you take to do stop motion to begin with is just crazy. Now take a Polaroid and have to line it up exactly every single time to the previous Polaroid. So it doesn't look like the Polaroid, the white border does not move, but yet the picture inside does move. And then there's points where he actually just adds pictures to it. And so you see the motion happening in the picture. And then, of course, the picture moving forward. So you just got to see the video. It's a great video. All right. I love this because it talks about home entertainment. I'm very big on home entertainment. I have, in the midst, I'm setting up a home network, cabled home network, not wireless, cabled, that's going to feature computers that have Kubuntu on them, which is a form of Linux, and the Linux Media Center Edition, MCE. Now, if you don't know about this, it's a great program, and there is more to this program than just the fact that it can download movies and TV shows and let you watch them. You can control your lights, you can control your garage door, you can control anything that you put onto a network device, onto something that can be controlled by computer. You could totally turn your house into something of the future. You know, you leave the kitchen lights on because you just went to get a snack. You go to sit down, you go, oh, geez, the kitchen lights are on. Hit the remote, go into the program of Linux MCE, say kitchen lights are on, they turn off. I think that's great. And I got that. I'm working on that right now. Now Sharp has, and this is also on geek.com, Sharp has unveiled the Blu-ray recorder with a 1 terabyte hard drive. 1,024 gigabytes. That basically can record up to 50 gigabyte Blu-ray discs with additional capacity in the internal hard drive. Yeah, I think it's like 500 gigabyte hard drive offering up to 63 hours of hard drive video recording. Terabyte is 127 hours. So you could literally watch all the shows, all the new shows, because it is the new show week. You can watch all your new shows next week as it's recording those shows. So if you missed The Bionic Woman, if you missed Heroes, if you missed Journeyman, if you missed Scrubs, if you missed The Office, if you missed Desperate Housewives, you know, you can have it on here. And let's say you want to watch Desperate Housewives, but you don't want to watch it till the end of the year. Well, you record it on your Blu-ray disc here. And then at the end of the season, you just have a big marathon. So I think it's a great idea. We're still in this whole, are we going to the Blu-ray? Are we going to the HD DVD or something new coming out? This is definitely one up on with Blu-ray. So great idea. Great idea. And of course, this is where it's going to go. Speaking of TV shows, I'm happy to hear this. Slash.org has announced from one of their readers that the new version of Knight Rider TV show will be coming into production very shortly. They're still looking for Michael Knight, but they're going to follow the original Knight Rider series, which is great. Now, if, for some of you that know this, they came out with a Knight Rider 2000, which was okay, but not like the original. And if you haven't seen the original Knight Rider, you should go out and get it on DVD. I know if you go to your local Blockbuster, you should be able to find Knight Rider DVD TV show. So, or just go up on Amazon.com and get yourself a copy of the Knight Rider TV show. It's at least see a couple episodes before you pass judgment. Don't judge the mullet. It was a decent show. At least for me as a kid, it was a decent show. And now they're cheesy, but hey, you know, in 20 years, the shows that are on right now that you're saying, this is an awesome TV show, they'll be cheesy too. The Bionic Woman, 20 years ago, was the $6 million Man and the Bionic Woman. So there's some validity in all this. So anyway, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the show. And like I said, there is no name yet. So if you have an idea for naming this show, please send me an email, drummerman1@gmail.com. And once I get a website up, I will put that up there. And I'll have a different email address for you. But the 608-807-4379, if you want to send some comments about the show, what you liked, what you didn't like. We're going to have a lot more in the coming up weeks. I'm going to talk a little bit more tech. We're going to, you know, things that happen to me during the week. If there are new versions and stuff like that, we're going to go up and we're going to talk about it. VersionTracker.com is a great place to go to get all your version information. So that's going to pretty much cut it. We're going to keep this at 45 minutes here. So I'm glad you're here for the first episode of the show, although it doesn't have a name. It can't be the No Name Show. That's already been taken. But anyway, my name is Jeff. I hope you have a great week. It's gonna be a great week. Football is gonna be starting for me in about an hour here. Local college team and UW Badgers. Go Badgers. Go Packers. Wisconsin boy. What can I say? You guys have a great week, and I will see you here next week. Take care.